Good morning. It seems amazing to me to think that this is our last study this year. I mean, I would guess that it has flown just as quickly for you as it has for me. It's just been like that for me. You know, it's funny because I was thinking yesterday, it's been both a burden and a blessing for me personally. The burden part is as I anticipate each week the next name I'm going to share. And I can just picture all that it takes for me to put that together. But then the blessing comes as I'm actually preparing it and loving it and just sensing so clearly that he is in it. That's always over the top. And you would think that that would carry on then, okay, so remember this for next week. Soon as Tuesday is over, it would be like, okay, now I have to know what name for next week, Lord, and just anticipating the whole thing over again and then repeating that it's a blessing. Because every single week, he has been so faithful to just show the name that he wanted to be taught. And it has personally been a huge encouragement to my own life. This morning's teaching is, well, first of all, probably a long one, so you can be prepared for that. Because I've decided that what I'm going to do is give a brief overview of each of the names. Last week, I thought, well, actually, for a few months, I had in my mind what was going to be the last teaching. I just, a name had come to me in my studying, and I thought, oh, that'd be a wonderful way to end it, Lord. You know, so I've kind of felt like I knew the name. And so in this past week, that's what I've been preparing for. And that's what I've been reading about, just taking in all the information I could access about this name. Spent most of Sunday doing that. Then right before Sunday night celebration, I just had this thought, oh no. This isn't the name. And yet I had to leave right away to go to church, but this is what I love. So at first, and my son happened to walk through my office when this was hitting me, and he goes like this. He looks again and goes, what? I said, I don't think I've got the right name. And then as I was driving here, I called a friend to pray, and while we were talking, a thought came, it was presented. Actually, she had said something, and it triggered. I said, well, actually, that is something that over the months I've also thought to do in the last teaching, and it was like I had kind of forgotten. And I said, I really believe that's it. And so what it is to just review each of the names that we have been through, just little synopsis, not a full teaching, obviously. We'd all be here for a week. But to just go through each name, and then at the end, I have three names that I want to give you. And yet, again, they're not going to be full teachings of each of those names, but just three at the end that I felt so strongly had to be included. And of course, if I tried to do a full teaching on each of those, I would have been 100% out of time. So as Pastor Brett says, fasten your seatbelts. Our study started with the first name of God that is mentioned in the Bible, Elohim. Now, I'm not going to spell, just so you know. You can look up the old ones. Meaning the creator. This is first seen in Genesis 1:1. And it appears in the Bible as the word God and is seen 2,600 times in the Old Testament. 32 of those times are in the first chapter of Genesis. El means mighty, strong, prominent. And in further studies, we saw that the prefix linked with other names as well, and was always indicating his omnipotence and sovereignty. It's significant to remember that the second part of this name is in the plural. So it's when God is speaking of himself, he says, us, revealing that Jesus was there at the time of creation. Elohim is referring to the Godhead, the three in one, the Trinity. Genesis 1, verse 2 says, the Spirit of God hovering over the waters. And then in Colossians 1:16, it tells us that in Jesus, the Son of God, all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The personal application of that study was this, that this powerful God can create order out of chaos. And you were encouraged to apply that to your own lives wherever you were, knowing that he can do the same in our lives as well. The next name is Jehovah, meaning Lord, and it's from Genesis 2:4. When you see this in the Bible, it's when you see the word Lord in all caps. And this is the covenant name of God. It's the Hebrew name Jehovah or Yahweh. It's God's distinctive personal name, the name he gave himself, his favorite name, used almost 7,000 times in the Old Testament. This name is linked to the creation of man. The mighty creator, God, Elohim, wants relationship with those who creates. And the way he does it is by revealing himself to us. And so it's usually in our needs that we come to know him by his names, because his names are revealing the work he does, the way he meets us, what he will do in our lives. He wants us to experience him, not just know him. He wants us to have heart knowledge of him, a relationship with him. Elohim tells us who God is, but Jehovah tells us what he's like. After Jehovah, we looked at Adonai. Genesis 15:1-2. Again, this has the same spelling as Jehovah. It's capital L-O-R-D. The difference is the O-R-D is not an uppercase. So when you see capital L, small O-R-D, that is Adonai. Even as Jehovah reveals the self-existing, self-revealing God, a God who wants us to know him and have relationship with him, the name Adonai reveals how that relationship should be. That it's a relationship that should be one of obedience to him and service. Adonai is in the plural possessive tense, revealing that he sees us as his complete possession, and that calls for complete submission. We belong to him. In 1 Corinthians 6, we're told, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Jesus paid that price with his blood. We belong to him. He is our Lord and Master. Then we considered Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide, from Genesis 22:14. Jireh is a word in the form of the Hebrew verb that means to see. Another word for seeing is vision. So with God, foreseeing is pre-vision. He's all-knowing. He foresees everything. And pre-seeing the fall of man, knowing what would happen in the garden and of the need that that would create, he made provision for that need. With Jehovah Jireh, prevision and provision is one and the same thing. We need to be thankful for all God's earthly provision, our family, our friends, our work, our home, our food, our health. We could go on and on with that list. But we should be ever aware and thankful for the fact that God's greatest provision was for our greatest need. His Son, Jesus Christ, came to die for us, to be our Savior, so that we could spend eternity with him. The next name was El Shaddai, which means God Almighty, Genesis 17, 1 and 2. Again, El stands for power, sovereignty, omnipotence. Shaddai means Almighty, and is derived from a word that is translated breast. When connected with the word breast, the title Shaddai signifies one who nourishes, supplies, satisfies. Then, connecting it to the word, it becomes the one mighty to nourish, satisfy, and supply. In this sense, God is the all-sufficient, the all-bountiful one. Only an all-powerful one could be all-sufficient and all-bountiful. This name also expresses something not seen in the other names of God, and that is the maternal side of God. He has attributes or characteristics that we see in a mother. And I personally love this because it opened up an entirely new and wonderful dimension in the way I see God. After El Shaddai came El Roy, meaning the God who sees me, from Genesis 16:13. And I shared how this is one of the names that I have personally loved and identified with many, many times over the years. It emphasizes how personal he is, that he's the God who sees me. Yes, he's the creator, the self-existing God, Jehovah, the God who wants to be known and so reveals himself to us. And he's all-knowing, all-powerful, not needing us in any way, and yet loving and desiring relationship with us. It's such an amazing thing to take this God who, in one way of looking at him, is so austere, so powerful, so holy, so removed from us, and to bring it down to the God who sees me. Last year, when we went through Psalm 139, we saw clearly that the God is the God who sees, that his eye is always upon us. Throughout the Bible, we see how God sees and knows his creation in a personal way. He doesn't just observe the masses. He knows the individual. He calls us by name. And for those times in life when your world gets knocked out from underneath you, perhaps through a life-threatening diagnosis or the end of a marriage, the heartbreak of a prodigal, there are so many things that can just flip our world upside down, aren't there? But to know Elroy, the God who sees me, is incredibly comforting and strengthening. Jehovah Tsidkenu. This was probably the hardest name to spell, Jeremiah 23:6, and means the Lord our righteousness. Our God is a righteous God with none to compare with him. He's perfectly righteous, and clearly we are not. But because he is the one who will be whatever we are in need of, he has presented a solution to our predicament. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that in Christ we are a new creation. And that's possible because verse 21 tells us, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Our righteousness is from God, and we appropriate it through the acceptance of Jesus Christ, his Son, as our Savior. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that he died on the cross that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The next name is Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, 1 Samuel 1:11. He is the Lord of angelic and or earthly armies. When David came against Goliath, he did it in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. David had confidence in Jehovah Sabaoth. And the same Lord of hosts is with us. His very presence is a terror to our enemies, but safety to us. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. We sing, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in troubled times. And that is Jehovah Sabaoth in Psalm 46. And before our modern rendition of Psalm 46, Martin Luther wrote, also using the psalm, a mighty fortress is our God, which he purportedly would sing whenever he heard discouraging news. Each week I shared the name that I felt directed by God to share. I love how following the Lord of hosts, the Lord mighty in battle, I felt led to share Jehovah Shalom. In Judges 6:24, the Lord is peace. We saw the importance of seeking the Lord's presence in the midst of our battles or intimidating situations. The enemy will always seek to rob us of our peace, presenting our circumstances as too big for God. I know we've all experienced that. The enemy would always want to stir up fear and anxiety within us. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on thee. And then Psalm 29:11, the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. In those times when we find ourselves overwhelmed, we must run to Jehovah Shalom. He is the very essence of peace. In him we'll find serenity and tranquility that the world cannot offer. The runner-up for hard to spell was Jehovah Makedesh. That's Leviticus 20, verse 7 and 8. And means Jehovah who sanctifies, or the Lord is my sanctification. The Hebrew word that it translates is also translated by other English words such as dedicate, consecrate, hallow, holy. But it's especially holy. Sanctify means to set apart, a concept all of us know that we need to walk in if we would be walking with the Lord. We'll experience that process of sanctification as we spend time in his word, honor the Sabbath, fellowship with the Lord, and obey his voice. Next is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, Exodus 17, 15. It's a name man gave to God and could be interpreted, the Lord that prevaileth. We made the correlation of lifting hands in prayer and the importance of prevailing in prayer, not being passive or half-hearted, but to pray in earnest. Matthew 18, 1, Jesus told his disciples that they should always pray and not lose heart. We need to be women who pray and who have people who pray for us. That is why I have so loved having our prayer groups, the comfort that we have been able to have in sharing prayer needs, and knowing we're being prayed for, even as we're praying for each other. And I know that sometimes we might leave thinking, well, it was nice to be prayed for in that little moment, but I know that through the week, those needs are being lifted up by your gals in your circle as well. And that's what the Lord would have for us. You know, Joshua was a great warrior, but without Moses interceding, without the Lord being called into that battle would not have been won. We also looked at Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. And that's Exodus 15, 26. This name always means to restore, to heal, to cure, not only in the physical sense, but in the moral and spiritual sense as well. We considered three areas of our lives that Jehovah Rapha brings healing to. Healing upon our circumstances, healing to our bodies, and lastly, healing to our souls. Is there a day that we don't need Jehovah Rapha? The name that presented the hardest time in preparation was El Elyon, which means most high, and that's from Genesis 14, 18. It means that the Lord God is God of gods, the ultimate God, and stresses God's strength, sovereignty, and supremacy, and reveals that God is the highest being, greater than both angels and people. Everyone else is below him. It's so strange because I didn't grasp it while I was preparing the teaching. It wasn't until after the teaching and the subsequent days that followed, that a truth that I thought I knew became really known it just became so increasingly clear to me. And that is, Satan is jealous of God. He wants to be the Most High. And I would have said to you before, well, I know that. You probably would have said, yeah, I know that. But never did I connect all the struggles of preparing the teaching with the fact that the enemy hated this. He didn't want me to teach that God was Most High. That was the last thing he wanted. And he was basically having a fit, pulling out all the stops. And I realized that after I did the teaching, it kind of clicked like, oh, wait, this is why I had so much trouble. But then, as I say, it was in the subsequent days that it just became more and more real to me. And I'm thinking, yes, that's why I had so much trouble. And I said to the Lord, why didn't you let me really get this before the teaching? Because I would have gotten up there and I would have taught that name with such passion and fervor. But I know that the enemy hates God. And I understand that in a way that I just haven't grabbed hold of before. He wants to be Most High, and he hates the fact that God is. El Elyon is able to deliver us, to protect us, and to do above and beyond anything we could ever ask or imagine. No wonder the enemy doesn't want us to know him. It's interesting that the name that was my hardest to prepare was followed by the name that blessed me from beginning to end. And that's Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd, from Genesis 48:15 and Psalm 23. The time of preparation was absolutely wonderful. I was totally excited about sharing it with you and could hardly wait to get up here. The only thing that happened was in the middle of it, I had my coughing fit. And I tried to even mention to you that I have experienced this a few times in counseling women. I've not experienced it teaching, but it is just like something grabs hold of my throat. And there is nothing I can do. And that's why I didn't even dare to drink water. I thought, if I take a sip of that water, it's going to go down wrong, and I'm going to be choking even more. But I shared how it usually happens when I'm counseling, and it's a marriage that's in a crisis, that's really, really bad. And I am counseling words that would encourage that woman to not give up on the marriage, to seek God, to call out to him and see what he would do in it. I don't know if any of you noted, because I didn't last week, where I was, what I was sharing when that happened. I had to go back and listen to the teaching myself because I thought, did I cough the whole teaching? Because that's how it felt in my mind. I felt like it went on and on and on. But what listening to it did was it allowed me to see where I was in the teaching. I was talking about the cross. You know, saying how the Lord doesn't want us to see the cross in a generic way, that Jesus died for all mankind, but wanted us to take it in a personal way. Jesus died for me. The Lord is my shepherd. He is a personal Lord, and he loves us. Now that brings us to today. And I'm amazed. I'm looking at the clock. I don't know how this happened. Because when I was home, I didn't have a chance to actually time it myself. But I just knew, looking at this, I thought, okay, if it's just 2 minutes a name, this is how long it's going to be. And then if I add, oh my goodness. And I told myself, oh well, I'm going to run over. But I'm amazed. Thank you, Lord. So our last study of the year, you know, what was the name that the Lord wanted me to share? And that's the part that I shared with you at the beginning. I thought I knew. And then when he redirected me, it was with great dismay. But then as I was praying, I realized, oh, it's going to be that plus. And I pictured when I was thinking, oh, so I'm going to add three names. Literally, I pictured looking out when I told you and seeing your eyes rolling back in your head, you know, like, please, you know, and I was going to say, don't run, you know. But the names he gave me, I'm not going to do regular teachings on. It's something I just feel he wants me to impart to you. And the picture in my mind was of when our kids go to parties. You know how often as they're ready to walk out the door, they're given a little bag of party favors. It's their gift to take home. And I feel that that is what the Lord wants to do with these last three names. It's like something for you to take home, something for you to put in your heart, to pray about those names, to appropriate those names, that they would stay tucked away in your heart all summer long, and that they would be so in the front of your mind that you would be quick to think about them when the need arises. The first name is Emmanuel, God with us, from Isaiah 7:14. If we'd only believe this name, not just acknowledging it and going our way, but if we would stop, if we would think about it, God is with us. In John 16, Jesus was preparing his disciples for what he knew was ahead, the cross. And they were so grieved. He knew that this was hard for them to hear. And he knew that it was more than they could bear. And he told them in verse 7, "But I tell you the truth. It's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." This was beyond their understanding. They couldn't get it. And see, at this time, here they had walked with Jesus, lived with Jesus for 3 years. But they could only be with Jesus when they were with Jesus. And that gives us a decided advantage to the disciples. And Jesus was saying, it's for your good. It's for your good that I'm leaving. And we saw that. We saw the power of his indwelling Holy Spirit in the lives of those disciples after he died and rose again, and then went to heaven. We saw a power in those disciples. We've all heard the stories of how each disciple died a martyr's death because they would not denounce the reality that Jesus is God. I love that. He told them that it was for their good, and it's for our good because we have the same indwelling Holy Spirit with us. God is with us. And if you know that, yes, you know this, but you really, really know that it's only up here that you know it, would you carve out some time to be with the Lord, asking Him, Lord, help it to drop from here to here. Please help me to know you are with me. The second name is El Emunah, Deuteronomy 7:9, meaning the faithful God. Over and over, as we've studied the names of God, we've seen His faithfulness. He is faithful to His creation. He's faithful to His children. He's revealed Himself to us that we might know Him. He wants us to have relationship with Him. This has been repeated every single week. There have been many repeated themes, and this is one of them. God wants to be known by you. He wants to be known by me. And as we've studied His names, that's what we have seen, is how over and over and over again He reveals Himself to His children. I love it. Deuteronomy 32, verse 3 and 4. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect and all His ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is He. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I know this is a verse that many of you love as much as I do. It's a verse that He has spoken to me in some of my most dire circumstances, sometimes in the middle of the night. But it has always been a wonderful comfort, a wonderful truth. He is faithful. The one who is with us is faithful. And the third in this trio of names is Jehovah Shammah, Ezekiel 48:35. The Lord is there. God is omnipresent. He's in all places at all times. He's not bound by time and space. Jeremiah 23, verses 23 and 24 says, am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth? In Psalm 139, verse 7 and 8, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. How we need to see when we're suddenly in the middle of a crisis. The Lord is already there. He's there. He's with you, and He's going to be faithful to you. These are the truths He so wants us to live by. He wants us to live with that awareness that He is the Lord who is there. I was praying about this and picturing some of your faces and thinking how I'd miss seeing you, and even though I'll probably see you here and there, but it's been so wonderful every week to look out to you. And as I've pictured different faces, I knew that some of you are going through really, really big things. Hard things. And not to be pessimistic, but if you're not now, eventually you will, because it's part of life. And that's not a being a Debbie Downer. That's life. The Lord doesn't promise us that everything is always going to be peachy keen. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. But cheer up. I have overcome the world. So yes, we're going to have tribulation. We're going to have trials. We're going to have crises. And they might be in our personal, immediate life, or in the lives of people that we love dearly. But the Lord wants us to know He is the God who is there. How we need to see in those times. He has those times every minute, every hour, every day, every week, every month, every year, in His hand. We might feel like we're ready to spin out of control, but He is not. Emmanuel, God with us. El Imuna, God is faithful. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. In whatever need we have, in whatever crisis we go through, if we can know, if we can cling to the truth of those names, that's all we'll really need to know. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. You are the God of time. And somehow, Lord, you allowed me to be able to share these names and not cut into the time for the women to pray. You know how burdened I was at that thought, that in their last week together, they would have 10 minutes to be together to pray. And Lord, you took care of that. You are so wonderful to us. I thank you for revealing yourself to us all this year, week after week, Lord, through the names you've given me, through the testimonies of the women who shared their lives with us. And Lord, it's been such a blessing. I pray that new friendships have been birthed. I pray that these women would continue to pray for one another, that perhaps somehow or other they would remain in touch with each other. I pray that the names we have learned about this year wouldn't be just categorized as a study we went through, but that, Lord, each name, each way you revealed yourself to us, we would take hold of and appropriate it in our own lives. As I remember when I started this, you showing me as I started reading, this is when I met you as Elohim. Oh, and this is when I met you as Jehovah. Oh, this is when I came to know you as Adonai. Lord, it went on, and that is my prayer, that these women would see where you have been. Just that name, the God who is there with each one of us in our lives. Would you bless these women? Would you give them a deep love for you that would come with the knowledge of your name? Would you help us to walk this life, Lord, close to you, acknowledging that you are with us, and how we praise and thank you for that. So have your way. Would you bless this time now as they gather with their sisters to share prayer requests and to pray. And Lord, it is our prayer that our lives would glorify your name, that we would bring you pleasure, that our walk with you would be personal. Have your way in us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.